T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We got Channel 2 on in studio. They're already in line for the Harry Styles concert tonight. Craig, your wife going to this one, Harry Styles?
She wanted to.
Why?
Likes him.
What is his appeal? Like, he's from, what was the band called? One Direction?
Yep.
And is he like the Justin Timberlake of that band?
But he's English.
But I thought he...
Or is it British?
Wasn't there also
Zayn
Malik?
Yeah, I prefer Niall Horan.
Okay, so there's a third one.
Niall Horan?
He's Irish.
Didn't he play for the Saints?
Joe Horn. Who are the crappy ones in One Direction that haven't done anything solo?
That's why you don't know their names.
Harry Styles, Google is telling me, dating Olivia Wilde.
Good for him.
Big
She's
ups
be,
to him
what,
on that.
15 years older than him?
She used to be with Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah. She's like, I think she's about my age or older. And he's what, in his early
20s? She's aged
20s?
A little bit better than you.
She started out as Olivia Wilde, so it's a higher bar to be starting from.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, hold on a second.
Chris, we can't hold on anymore.
I get carded still. I'm 36 years old. I get carded routinely.
Congratulations on all your success.
Thank you. You should be.
Steve Palazzolo with us from Pro Football Focus. Steve, what was the last concert you went to?
Oh, I can't even remember. I don't know.
Do you listen to music?
Yeah, sometimes.
Does anybody at PFF listen to, like, really annoying music when they're doing their grades? Like, they just try to zone out, the film is on silent, and they're just absolutely rocking out to the Carpenters.
Dude, most people grade at home, you know, in their mom's basement. That's where we live.
That's so, what Ben said, yes.
I don't know.
You just sit at home in your grandma's basement with your drawers on, typing on your damn keyboard.
Exactly,
Shut
Chuck.
Shut the hell up.
That's PFF. That's us.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know what people are listening to.
You
Probably
guys,
Whitesnake.
Did you guys give Roethlisberger a great grade this week, or am I hallucinating?
I think it was good. Good grade. Let's see. 75 passing grade. It was good.
No, that's squarely in the green.
Didn't miss a ton of throws like he had in previous weeks. Still had a couple bad decisions in there. Big-time throws.
Oh, so you guys did have the touchdown to Johnson as a big-time throw then, yes?
Yes. That was a good throw.
This is interesting to me. I read somebody else that seems to be fairly numbers and analysis. And it was just some random guy. But they clearly are like somebody who does the film breakdowns. I read, and I couldn't wait to ask you this because it was not a PFF guy. I read somebody do like a Twitter thread on why that was a bad throw by Roethlisberger because Johnson beat his man inside. And that the throw should have been on the hash and that Johnson had to make enough of an adjustment that not only was it not a good throw, this person felt it was a miss and a bad throw.
Huh.
No. I mean, yeah, I get it. It could have been like a foot or two inside, you know, further inside because of the inside release. But when Big Ben, like even when he's releasing it, he's trusting him to go get it, and he puts it in a place for him to go get it. He did a good job. That's a good throw. Hits him in stride. What wasn't a good throw was back in week one when we were talking about this, when the ball got tipped in the end zone and then, you know, bounced into Deontay's hands. Or, say, like that week one when Claypool mossed Tre'Davious White. That looked like just a pure jump ball where Claypool's doing all the work. That wouldn't get as good of a grade for us.
Now, Steve, I'm not going to quote you saying this and tweet it out because we know it won't do numbers when we send out your positive views on the Steelers. So I'm going to wait until you inevitably say something negative about the team, and then we'll send that one out.
All right, let's try this one, Chris.
Okay.
Do you think that Juju Smith-Schuster is a big loss?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm all about having more playmakers rather than fewer playmakers out there. And I think when they're all out there together, it's not a bad group. Now, Juju's production hasn't been all that great the last couple of years, and he's been, you know, I think feeding Claypool and Deontay Johnson is a better idea, or even Freiermuth over the middle. So it's not a massive loss, but I'd still rather have him than not have him.
How did PFF evaluate the Steelers' offensive line play in this game, finally paving the way for a 100-plus yard performance from Najee Harris?
So this was a weird one because the grades themselves weren't that great. Like, if you look at the actual room that Najee had and all that stuff, it wasn't really a dominant outing. You know, there was a couple nice runs. They did it on a couple nice plays, but the big runs that Najee had, you know, cutback, it was really, honestly, because we evaluate both sides, it was more about bad run fits, I think, from Denver and a nice job running by Najee than really dominant offensive line play. I think what the difference was is the Steelers really stuck with it. It wasn't like they were moving the ball a ton, but Najee broke off a couple decent runs. You had a couple goal line stops in there that probably hurt the grades a little bit, but it was just okay. I mean, the offensive line was just okay. I thought, you know, they did a nice job kind of moving linebackers a little bit with the jet motion. So I think it was as much about the Broncos being out of position, Najee taking advantage of those bad run fits, than anything dominant from the offensive line.
Even though you guys hate at PFF taking a running back in the first round, does Najee Harris right now, has he earned a season grade where he's up there with the upper echelon of running backs?
Let me see exactly where he is. I don't know off the top of my head.
Is he better than James Robinson or Tony Pollard or Jonathan Taylor?
No, because Pollard's the best. So.
Okay.
He's got our highest grade. Najee's got a decent grade. I mean, it's solid. It's in the 60s. Let's see. Where's that rank overall? This is
better than Nick Chubb.
31st. No, he's not as good as Nick Chubb. Has not been as good as Nick Chubb. Chubb's been great. Joe Mixon's been really good. Derrick Henry, all those guys. Aaron Jones, they've all been better.
So where is Harris then?
31st among running backs.
Now, how many
Alvin Kamara?
Now how many carries? How many carries do you need to qualify for that? Like, could in theory, could Benny Snell be ranked ahead of him?
You can toggle it, Pony, at PFF.
Well, I want to know like what the minimum is.
I do like 20% of the highest total. That's the way the premium stats work. So I just do like 20%. So you get a decent sample size. If I put it up to 50%, he's been more. Nobody's. He's one of like eight guys that have had over 70 carries. So okay. That's different. He's been a workhorse for sure. Caught a ton of passes, but he's been okay overall.
Do people love to like whine at you guys on Twitter when Derrick Henry continues to have big games and tell you stuff like, see, the running game yeah. does matter. Running backs do matter. Do you get a lot of people chirping?
Yeah, a little bit. I think Derrick Henry is like the one guy that I might lean toward being the exception. He's just ridiculous, man. He's ridiculous because he does so much of his work after contact and he never slows down. And they really give him 25, 30 carries a game, and he's been able to handle it. And look, there's one Derrick Henry, and there's, you know, the part of it is even the elite running backs tend to fluctuate from year to year. So depending on one, it's fool's gold most of the time. There can be exceptions, though. Henry might be close.
What are Steve Palazzolo's AFC North quarterback rankings through 5 weeks?
Oh, let's go Lamar, Burrow, Baker, Ben.
Are three and four close?
Baker keeps disappointing me. You know, I think there's an element of his production. I think he's been good. It's just funny. Like, if you look at his stat line last week, he averaged 9 yards per attempt and passer rating was 122. But you still came out of the game like, man – I don't know about Baker.
His own coach doesn't trust him, Steve. Like, I read all of those Stefanski quotes about, I didn't want something bad to happen, so I basically called plays like a big conservative baby as Baker Mayfield might screw it up if I put the ball in his hands here.
There's an element to that. They scored. They were like the only team in NFL history to score 40 points and have 500 yards or whatever it was to lose. And you actually look at the quarterback and you're like, man, I didn't really have faith in him making that comeback. On that last drive, they were checking down with no timeouts. It was ugly. And that's the second time this year Baker, you know, he struggled against Kansas City in the comeback attempt. Same thing last year in the playoffs. So there is a missing piece. You know, it reminds me a little bit of Kirk Cousins for a lot of his Cousins career, where like there was more good than bad. I still believe that there's more good than bad, but you still want to see that, hey, it's all on his shoulders. Go carry the team. I mean, we haven't really seen that just yet from Baker Mayfield. I see the tweet. It's already out there.
Nice.
It's great.
I told you I was going to do it.
Steve Palazzolo right now, looking at the Seahawks for the Steelers Sunday. What is a bigger issue for Seattle, their defense or the fact that Geno Smith is back under center?
Oh, it's got to be Geno, but the defense is close, man. Their defense has been rough. I mean, they're a little bit better. I'm saying they were a little bit better against the Rams. They still ended up getting torched, but Stafford was missing some throws. The defense has been a serious issue just because the pass rush is hit or miss. They're not making any plays on the ball in the back seven. The coverage unit has been just brutal. It's over the last couple of years, they have not been anything to what their old reputation was with the Legion of Boom. And then when you get to Geno Smith, you know, Russ is just so special that he can overcome maybe a poor offensive line, a defense that's given up a lot of points. With Geno, we'll see. They have to protect him a lot. Geno likes to hold on to the ball. They got to get the ball out of his hands quickly against this Pittsburgh pass rush. So Geno's the bigger issue, because if Russ was in there, you know, Seattle's favored. I mean, it's like a 7-point swing in the line with Russell Wilson versus Geno Smith. So Russ is the bigger factor. But yeah, this Seattle defense, they've got some serious issues, because there's not really anything that they do particularly well right now.
Did you see any what a ringing endorsement of them, and they deserve it. Is there anything you saw, though? Because Smith did come in, and I mean, it was kind of like weird watching it along with people on Twitter. Here comes like Geno Smith. You got like Seahawks superfan right. Mina Kimes fawning over his performance.
And what's the guy's name who did the rap video about like
Macklemore.
Going to a thrift store?
Yeah,
yes,
Macklemore,
he was also very excited.
But like, he actually looked good, I thought. Is that a mirage? Did PFF see it the same way? Is there anything to be concerned about that this guy might pull, like, I don't know, a 2014 Mike Glennon and walk in here and win?
Yeah, I mean, first off, I always respect Macklemore's, player evaluations. So all in on that. I mean, yeah, of course. I mean, he's still an NFL quarterback, but he's a backup NFL quarterback. So, yeah, in a given week, I mean, Mason Rudolph won games before, right? In any given week, Geno Smith could go out there and put up a decent game. He had decent games for the Jets at times. But, yeah, I mean, the odds are low. So I think Seattle's got to scheme him up pretty well. Again, can they win? Sure. They got to take advantage of DK. They got to take advantage of Tyler Lockett. And they're going to have to do a good job protecting Geno. He was really good, though, on Thursday night overall. I thought he got a little lucky on the touchdown pass and then a little unlucky on the interception, so maybe those offset. Overall, he was great coming off the bench. Now it's a game plan for Geno Smith. The Steelers know that it's Geno Smith. He holds the ball 3 seconds for a dropback historically in his career. That's an eternity for a guy that doesn't make Russ types of plays. So they got to figure it out, you know, get rid of the ball and, you know, get the ball to their playmakers. So, yeah, could he put together a good game? Sure.
Pony, there's an elephant in the room I haven't brought up with Steve.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
I'm still trying to get the PFF_Steve follow on Twitter.
Well, maybe if you donate to one of Steve's many causes, he would do that. Maybe if there's a certain drive.
So I've got to basically pay.
Yes.
To be followed.
I think
here.
That's fair. You pay,
but
for a PFF subscription. You should have to pay for Steve's friendship.
And I am happy to be charitable here. But what's
and
to
how
stop
is that
Steve?
An elephant in the room? It's never been
what's
broached.
I know. Well, it's been weighing on my conscience.
Well, now you're
here.
Making Steve feel awkward.
No,
because
no,
of this.
No, no.
What you've both been followed.
Sucker.
You've both been followed.
Pony, all I had to do was ask. But now you know what I'm going to do.
What?
I'm going to donate to the charity.
Oh,
and Steve, whatever charity is out there that I can donate
what
to.
What is it now? What's the latest like stunt that's attached to it? Is there one?
He's going to pitch to Monson.
I'm going to pitch. And then we had a stretch goal where he was going to hit. And then if we got to our stretch goal, which apparently we just hit today, he's going to catch. He's going to throw on the gear.
Oh, God.
And I told him, I'm going to break his poor hand. Like, or it's just going to hit him in the face. Like, he's not going to catch.
Why? Because how hard do you think you can throw right now, Steve? Or,
low 80s, probably.
That's still
to Monson, though. To Monson, who didn't grow up with baseball, like that, he is still looking at that, thinking it's so fast he can barely see it.
Yeah, I stepped away from the game for a few years, played catch with like a 10-year-old, and I was like, man, that's quick for me. I haven't seen a ball in a while, so yeah, it gets on you.
Did I hear a rumor that you guys have Chris Wormley graded as one of the best defensive linemen in the NFL through 5 weeks? Is that actually true? I just got a tweet about that.
We have a we also have a secret fantasy league that we're working on that uses all players in our grades, and he's on my all 22 fantasy team. that might be coming to a place near you next year. All 22 fantasy.
Chris Wormley.
Can you imagine people playing PFF like, all 22 begging to get Wormley
like,
in a trade?
Can you give us a name of like a great player that Chris Wormley is graded out better than this year, Steve?
Please say he's better than Aaron Donald this year. Please.
No, nobody. I mean, Cam Hayward is the only guy that's grading better than Aaron Donald. Let's see. Wormley, ooh, we've got in the 70s. He's above nobody great. Grady Jarrett. He's above Grady
Jarrett.
How
about J.J. Watt?
No, J.J. is actually doing pretty well. He's seventh in our grades. He's got no sacks. He's got a lot of pressure. Mm.
Yeah, you guys don't care about sacks. It's about the pressure rate and hits and
that
stuff.
But winning those one-on-one sacks, you'll get the sacks if you do the other stuff. They'll come over time.
All right, Steve, you're going to get some money sent your way for the follow. Thank you.
Awesome. Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Steve Palazzolo, PFF.
I will send him money. I will donate.
I cannot believe that you just...
Oh, I hit him with it. We've had such a good... Here's why.
You're going to send out some like video about what you made for dinner, putting mayonnaise on a steak, and he's going to unfollow you. He's going to block you.
Oh, Craig, stop making fun of the mayonnaise on the steak. That's how you get a great sear. It doesn't taste
You're the
like
only person I've ever met who does that.
There is a literal New York Times article from a respected and revered chef who wrote like a book on cooking, like special cooking techniques about searing your meats with mayo. The mayo sear.
There's also a New York Times article about, you know, somebody at the Bronx Zoo who watched monkeys pleasure themselves. Like, just because it was in the New York Times.
What does that have to do with cooking?
You're using the New York Times as, like, the gospel on cooking.
The article happened to be published in the New York Times. The guy wrote a book. He's a best-selling author.
So one cook puts mayonnaise on steaks.
No, lots of people do.
Lots of people.
They don't eat the steak and dip it in mayo. They put it on the steak. They put it on a flat
top. Have you ever done that, Craig? Put mayonnaise on a steak before?
Never.
To sear it. Unbelievable.
Insanity.
Never. I had to bring up the follow thing for this reason. Steve has talked many times about how he loves doing this hit every week.
Yes.
And I felt like we needed to sort of consummate this show and guest relationship with a Twitter follow. Yeah, I'm already muted, by the way.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You got followed and instantly muted as well.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.